No further ado, we're just going to worship God. I'm going to pray for us, but just let it go, whatever you got on your brain. The world will keep turning without you behind the steering wheel for a little bit. Just let it go. Be here. Hear what God has to say through His music, through His Word. I see we got friends and family visiting. We love y'all. We're so glad every time we get to see you and every time that you're here. So be welcome. Let me pray for us and we'll roll on. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. Help us, Father, to truly be free in this place and allow you to just move and to do what you would do. Help us to let go. There's a lot going on. And Father, we gather on these days just to say, Lord, we're giving this time to you. We're letting go. And Father, teach us, grow us, reach us. We love you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. eating yet? That they get you charged? Now look, we've been preaching on grace forever. This whole ministry is based on the grace of God, not people being good enough, not people earning it, not people trying hard enough. It's just saying, God, what He has is enough to save me. Amen. Amen. I'm so glad God is enough. Let's keep praising Him. I just want you to think for a minute, and I'm just going to take this just a brief moment and just testify that I'm somebody who owes everything to Jesus. And I don't got any other plan. I don't got any other way. I just owe it all to Him. And so I'm John Goldwater, and I approve that message. And I don't know where you are, where you stand with Him, but I know if you know what He's done for you, if you can take that in, you'll realize that you ought to stand in awe of Him too, and that you owe everything to Him, just like that song sang. Father, thank You for loving us. And as we sing again, and as we hear Your word, just prepare our hearts. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. For me. Yes, it's good. God is good. And I hope you have that sense. There's a lot of things you might feel when you walk into Christ Community Church, and there's some things I really hope you feel. I hope you feel welcomed. I hope you feel accepted and loved. Now, I hope, as important as those things are to us personally, I hope you walk away always with this sense that God is good. That God is good. If we can communicate just one of those things, as important as all those things are, we want you to know that God is good. And so we're going to have Nani's class go. Is Nani's class? I don't even see Nani. She might already went. Did Nani's class already go? Nani went home? No one told me Nani went home. I hope Nani's okay. Nani is okay? Papa's not feeling good. Okay. Okay, because we have some, like, because Quinn's here and we got some participants. Our Nani's class is three to kindergarten, and they go with Nani. And we also have our first graders through sixth graders are already in a class. They start off in there singing and having their own worship service. And so it's always good. But that's where our kiddos are. And we're glad at Christ Community Church to be able to take care of our kiddos. And we do that. We're going to be in the book of 2 Timothy. If you have your Bible, turn to 2 Timothy. And we're going to continue our series on grace. Just speaking about God's grace, which is His unmerited favor. It's the way of God saying, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of your sin. I'm going to take care of your life, your eternal life. I'm going to take care of you. Not because you deserve it. And that kind of is a shot to our ego because so many people think we deserve it. But remember, God is holy. So he ain't looking for any of us who we don't. I don't know about y'all. Actually, I do know about y'all, but I won't call y'all out. I'll call me out. I'm not holy. I can't. How could I stand in God's presence and say I'm holy and perfect and sinless on my own and take what I have? I deserve to be saved. Oh, I ain't going to get far that way. I can tell you just about me. But I know that's not just my condition. That's the human condition. That's for all of us. And so we're preaching about how God, who is holy, has given us a gift of grace to save us. That's what this whole series has been about. And today we're going to have, this is the message in my brain. When we started this series, this is the one I've been holding off, but wanting to preach and wanting to preach and wanting to preach. Because I think it's so relevant, it is so relevant to our church and how we do church and what we're going to do in the future. So let me read this passage and I'll pray for us. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, say this. You, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier. And also, if anyone competes in athletics, he is not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer, he must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. Let's pray. Father, we've heard your word, and it starts with this challenge of being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I pray for myself. I pray for Christ's community. I pray for all those who are here that we would be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Help us to be strong in grace, to stand firm in your promise, in your gift, in your way, in your salvation. Help us to be strong, Father, not floating in and out, not full of worries and insecurities, but strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, we love you and we give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Look, we've been singing about grace. We've been singing that grace is enough. We've been singing that grace comes through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It ran blood red at the cross, but it's made my sin white. It's washed me. It's His gift. Just to go over it again, God's grace is giving us something we could never buy or earn, not even over a lifetime. It's not like even a mortgage plan. Like, you don't get to buy grace over time, like, hey, I'm going to take a 30-year, you know, mortgage on grace. You know, I'll continually make payments. You know, I'll come to church. I'll drop something in the plate. I'll come in. I'll do some good things. You know, if I want to get it down to a 15-year mortgage on grace, you know, I'll become a Sunday school teacher, or, you know, maybe chop it down to 10 by becoming a missionary or something. There ain't no payment plan for this deal. It's a gift. You couldn't buy it. There's not enough time. You can't earn it. God's given it. It's free. It's giving us what we don't deserve. And you all know I like to contrast with mercy. Mercy is another one of God's gifts, but mercy is when He holds back what we do deserve. I always say, think about that time. I don't know if y'all used to play. We used to play a game called Mercy. And you'd stand off with each other in the schoolyard, and you'd interlock your fingers like this with somebody, and then you'd crunch down and you'd try to bend their hand back, and they're trying to bend your hand back, and you're like, ha, and that game was called Mercy, because if they got leverage on you and your hands were bent back, you were like, mercy, mercy, hold back, stop. I see y'all played that game. Either that or just laughing at me because I'm looking weird. Hey, if you've never played it, go ahead, start. You know what I'm saying? Especially husbands and wives. It's great. It's a date night. What we're doing, we're playing Mercy. And then we're doing the pain tolerance with the eraser test on our hands. You know, just all these old games. And, oh, listen, there's life in here. Do you hear? Anyways, we're glad for our babies. Oh, he's getting took out. The law got him. The law got that baby. We're glad. Look, we're as laid back as you can be. But God's mercy is where He holds back. He says, you've broke the law. You broke my holy law. The punishment is such and such. You deserve this. Matter of fact, it says in the Bible, the wages of sin is death. It means what sin pays out is in death. This is what you deserve. But mercy holds that back. And then grace gives out life and peace and love and joy and a relationship with God that never, ever ends. That's grace. Y'all, grace, when we think about it in the context of our church, when we think about being strong in grace, to me it's like saying, I'm taking God's gift and I'm going to let it permeate every thought of my mind, every action, all the words, everything I do. I'm going to let it become the basis for what I do and who I am. That I become a man of grace, a man of God, but a man that says, I know that God is so good that He's provided everything. The whole enchilada of what I need has been provided for by God, and I can be strong in that. God doesn't keep us guessing. You want to be saved? Chris is going to learn. Jessica makes her husband Chris sit up front. And Chris would sit toward the back if he had a choice. But because Chris is up front, I come over here, and I like use them in illustrations all the time just to make them uncomfortable. But but Chris, he's one of ours, so you can do that. You know, so it's like holding a carrot. God doesn't hold a carrot out in front of us. I was actually looking for a carrot. Like, is there a carrot around here? Anyways, He doesn't hold that out in front of us. Like, you can be saved if you try a little bit harder. And then Chris tries a little bit harder, and you go, oh, you can be saved if you try a little bit harder. Oh, you can be saved if you try a little bit harder. You can be saved if you try a little bit harder and just keep moving the carrot back, and you keep reaching like, oh, I want it. Oh, I want it. And of course, for preachers and churches, they love the carrot routine. You tithe a little more, you can be saved. You do a little more work at the church, you can be saved. You know, religion loves this idea of a little bit more. I don't know, man. I don't know. You're kind of soft on works. You know what I'm saying? I can see Mike Lawrence now. He's like, oh, no, he's a visitor. He's a guest. He's a friend. It's like, Mike, you're so close. But we're trying to pay off this building. If you could see fit to make a loan, I know you would be closer. Probably not all the way there, but closer. You know what I'm saying? You'd be a little closer. We do this stuff. We've fallen for this stuff. Churches make their living on this stuff. Just a little bit more. Just a little bit more and you'll be safe. You'll be secure. And don't everybody want to be safe and secure? Can I tell you something? You'll never be safe and secure if you're supplying what it takes to be saved and right with God. Never. It'll never be enough. It'll never be enough. If you don't just firmly plant your life in the fact that God did it all, you'll never have that feeling of safe and secure that you long for. But I promise, when you see what the Bible says about grace, you'll be like, Amen, touchdown, home run, whatever it is. It's done. God's done it. God's done it. No one else could have done it, but God's done it. And I'm going to rest in the fact that God's done it. And not only am I going to rest, but I'm going to let it make me strong. Because I'm never going to fall for that, oh, just a little bit more business, just a little bit more business. I'm going to be one of those who say no. All my hope is in Christ. All my joy is in Christ. My strength is in Christ. Everything that's going good for me, I know it comes from God. It comes from God. And even my ability to do some things, whether it's things for the kingdom or things for the church, even those things are, they're not to earn a little bit more or get a little bit closer. It's because I've been made secure. It's because I've been made alive. It's because I have an opportunity now, not to brag on myself or earn for myself, but to brag on Christ and to be a part of His plan. Can I tell you, I love this. I love when he says, be strong in grace. So often when people preach grace, you get this sense that we're victims and we're weak. And y'all, listen, we kind of are, okay? Kind of are. We can't earn it ourselves, like I said. It's not in our own strength. But God offers us a strength in his grace. A strength that those who have gone on to martyrdom, a strength that those who have stood strong in hard times have shown, where they say, no, I'm going to trust God. I believe God has this. I believe that we can trust God with our families and be strong. We can trust God with our finances and be strong. We can trust God and just be strong. Grace isn't only a safety net to catch us wayward sinners way down here. It's a trampoline that throws us way up in the air and says, be strong, reach the heights, go, man, go. It's strength. Being strong in His grace. And it's the grace that comes in Christ Jesus. If you look at verse 1, he says Christ Jesus. And just to point it out, I know we've heard it before, but Christ, that's a title. That's not Jesus' last name. He didn't come from the family of Christs. You know, Mary and Joseph Christ, that wasn't their last name. It's a title. And it's a title that means He's the One. It's a title that means Messiah. It's a title that means there ain't nobody like Him. It's a title that means He's the one who's been prophesied through the Scriptures for years and years. He's the one, and His name is Jesus. And His name means that the Lord saves. That's what Jesus means. It means the Lord saves. Can I tell you, the one who saves, that's Jesus, and you can count on Him. And you can be strong in that grace. When I hear Paul speaking to his protege, Timothy, in this verse, saying, be strong, my son, in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, I hear him saying, Timothy, firm up the foundation upon which you are saved. Realize it's all of God and not of you and of works. And when you preach, preach the gospel and the sufficiency of Christ and the sufficiency of grace. Be strong in it. Turn away from all the religious mumbo jumbo. Turn away from the carrot routine and the more routine. Stop looking at people. Start looking at God and be strong. See, that's what was going on here. When I think about our church, that's what I want to say. Be strong. Be strong in grace. I know that people struggle. Sometimes you struggle with knowing, am I saved or am I not saved? Does He love me or does He not love me? What I'm saying, it's time to turn the corner. It's time to flip the page on that and saying, He does love me. The cross proves it. And I'm going to revel in it, rest in it, and get strong. I think about going to a gym to get strong. And I just, to me, it's kind of like, man, get in. This church ought to have that effect. Like going, having a workout. If I keep talking so fast and moving so, I'll have my own workout this morning. But it should be a workout in grace. It should be where we come and we're reminded about who is the giver. Who is the Savior. Who is the one who provides all we need? It ought to be a workout that makes us stronger throughout the week, saying, yeah, I know it's God. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be in and out, insecure. I can be strong in grace. It's time to put and cut ties with all the religious, all the superstitious stuff that just binds our brain and it darkens our heart. Because I believe this. If you are a recipient of grace, eventually, you're going to be a transmitter of grace. If you know that you're received by grace, you're going to have grace for other folks too, and the message is going to get out. The message of His grace is going to continue because you've received it, and now you're saying, look, I can receive you. I can forgive you. I can offer you love and acceptance. That's the kind of church we want, strong in grace. Now, there's 4 points that the rest of this passage brings out about being strong in grace. Okay? Now, as I go through them, I want y'all to remember now, we're talking about grace, so we're not talking about having to earn God's favor. Because there's going to be, in verse 6, it's going to say, be hardworking. In verse 4, it's going to say, endure hardships. Or verse 3, endure hardships. And verse 5, it's going to say, according to the rules. I want to clarify what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about according to the rules, sticking to the law and legalism to be saved. I'm not talking about working hard to be saved. I'm not talking about enduring to be saved. I'm saying endure, work hard, and go according to the rules because you've been saved. And it's a gracious opportunity for us. But here's the points of strength that he gives to his to Timothy, his protege. He says first in verse 2, that's called the unbroken chain of grace. We talked about how grace breaks all the chains of our sin. We just sang that in the song. But I can tell you, grace also builds a chain. Not a bad chain, not one to tie you down, but it kind of makes us all hold hands together. Listen to what it says in verse 2. And the things that you've heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who are able to teach others also. It's imperative in our culture, where there's a lot of religious mumbo-jumbo, that those churches that are strong in grace pass that grace on to the next generation and the next generation. Somebody needs to be telling the truth. And I'm not, gosh, this makes me feel like a weird cult leader sometimes, like I'm the one telling the truth. I know I'm not the only one. I know there's grace preachers and teachers all over the place. So don't hear me being the only one. Don't hear our church being the only one. There's churches in town that are preaching the grace of God and focusing on Him. But y'all, God's called us to be one of those churches here in town. And we need to commit to tell that to our kids. And have them tell that to their kids. And have them tell that to their kids. We need to be deliberate about taking the grace of God, that we're saved by grace, not by works, not by religion, that we're saved by grace, and sharing that with others. And the word he uses is commit. Commit that to others. It's like committing a trust to somebody. Like, hey, I commit this to you. I'm giving you this precious message of grace. We're giving you this. Y'all, without going into a lot of detail, this is the most important message. It's the most important thing we got going, especially when we look at our young folks. Young folks who don't hear a lot about what they got going for them. Young folks who don't always hear about how that they're valuable in the eyes of the Lord. Young folks who need to hear that there's some good news for the future. Young folks who need to know that God has got this. Even though it looks like a huge hot mess. Probably sometimes in their own home, but in their own world, in their own school, in their own city. They need to know. We need to be committing this message of grace on to them. And do you see how it's there? It says, Paul starts it. He says, take what you've heard from me among many witnesses. So he commits this to Timothy. And he says, Timothy, now you commit this to faithful men who are able to teach others also. So there's these four links in this chain. And I want you to think about where you are in that. Just for a moment, where are you in this part of grace? Are you a Paul who has become, you've already become strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and now you're passing that message on to a Timothy and challenging him to pass it on to others? Or are you in the role of Timothy, where you're sitting in and God's got your attention, ears are open, and you're like, hey, I'm ready. I'm ready to hear it. I'm ready to take this on and pass it on and find faithful people. Are you the faithful one that's just saying, hey, I'm open. I'll take it. If somebody share with me, I'll take it. Or are you somebody who's still kind of unreached, unidentified, but you're there? Wherever you are in this chain, I'm going to tell you, God has a plan for you. He has a plan to get this message of grace to you. One of the ways we can be strong in the grace of God is by simply passing the message on to others. One of the greatest ways is to show it. I said husbands and wives earlier. Let me pick on us married folks again real quick. Show it. Show it to the person that's hardest to show it to. for a lot of you, it might be your spouse. Show them grace. Show them an undeserved favor. For those who aren't married, to your coworkers, to your parents, parents and children, show your children grace. Kids, show your parents grace. Become part of that chain where we share grace with one another, but then become deliberate and say, not only am I going to show it, but I'm going to verbalize it. I'm going to tell it. I'm going to share it. I'm going to tell somebody that that God has saved me and I'm trusting in Him alone. Did you hear how simple that is? God has saved me and I'm trusting in Him alone. You might not know any more than that. You might say, I'm no theologian, I'm no pastor, I'm no missionary, but if you know what I just said, God has saved me and I'm trusting in Him alone. That's the message of grace. That's the message of grace. Pass it on. Pass it on. That's not a secret meant to be kept. That's a transmission meant to be sent. Okay? Fill yourself up, become strong on grace, and then become part of that chain. The next picture is that of a devoted soldier of Jesus Christ. It literally says, I was going to say a soldier of grace, and I put that in there, and I went and deleted it back, and I wrote a soldier of Jesus Christ, because it literally says in there, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So I thought, you know, you can't beat the scripture on that. But the idea of being devoted means that you are determined to have your loyalty, your heart, your affection set on the one who saved you. You're ready to move at His impulse. You're ready to hear what He has to say and to put it into action. You're ready to get the next order. You're ready to go through whatever hell that this world might throw at those who are believers in Christ. You're ready because you're devoted to the one who saves you. Because you've been saved by Jesus Christ and you trust in Him alone, and you're ready to endure come what may. Matter of fact, the sentence that stuck in my brain when I first thought about this message and started preaching the grace was this: be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, ... you must endure. You must endure. Oh, we want the message of grace to endure, to be strong, and it will. It won't fade out because God's embedded it throughout His whole Word. And although the grass will wither and the flowers will fade, the Word of God will stand forever. Psalm 100, verse 5, it says this, the very last sentence, and His truth will endure to all generations. So the Word will endure. Grace, the message of grace will endure. But it just reminds me, we want to be a part of that. So those who are strong in grace, we must endure. We must carry on. I want my grandkids. You're listening, right? You got my back on that? All right. Those are my boys, for y'all don't know. I say nothing to my girls at this moment in time. I want my children's children to walk into a church, wherever they are in this world, that's preaching grace, not religion. I've told you about the heartache that I had to know that my grandmother, who's now passed on, walked into a grace that church that was all about religion, and she turned her back on religion and never came back. Turned her back on God because she figured if that church was so judgmental and so unforgiving, that must be what God is like. And so she never came back. Not the rest of her days. She just quit. And she's gone on to be wherever she's gone on to be. We're trusting that God did a miracle while she was in a state of dementia and got through her barricade of God-hating and hostility to where she would accept between her and Him, but we'll never know. What we do know is that she walked into a place that should have told her and showed her a God of forgiveness and grace, but she didn't. She walked into one of those other places. And I hope those places close. Or they get with the program that God is loving, forgiving, and gracious, and holy, and awesome, and stop focusing on the faults of the people who walk in the door. We ain't got time to lose all our lost loved ones to the mumbo-jumbo religious junk. Man, we need to see them saved. And they're saved by grace and grace alone. They ought to trust God and God alone. Man, I don't got time for anybody else I love to walk into a mumbo-jumbo church. Now, I'm not trying to be ugly, but religion, that's not it. That's not what the Word says. They base on the people walking in being ignorant of how good the Bible is, and they can tell them anything they want, and they get stuck in their traditional things, and they just bypass all the good stuff. Because it's easier to control people who are scared. It's easier to control people who are guilty. It's easier to control people who are eager to work to earn something with God. Well, I'm going to tell you, God can do all the controlling He wants to do. He's called me to preach grace. And we must endure. There needs to be churches that are preaching grace. And we'll let God take care of everything else, but we must endure. Not getting entangled, it says, with worldly affairs or the affairs of this life. In other words, look, there's a lot of distractions. We live in a world where there's race-baiting distractions, where there's economic distractions, where there's political distractions. And people, it's just as easy for us to get into that complain mode. I don't like this guy, he's doing it, and he's president, and these people, and blah, 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 and what about this, and where's the money, and blah, 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 and all this stuff. Even good things, like who won yesterday? Who won Alabama and Florida State? Roll Tide. Okay, I knew somebody would know. You know, last week, you know, we got up into, it was the boxing match between McGregor and Mayweather, you know, and so we can get caught up in all these things, and none of those things in themselves are bad, but can I tell you, that ought not be the focus for anybody who's a believer. We ought not make that our major, not to major in the minors. Hunting season's coming up. Don't major in the minors. Hunt. Feed your family. It's good. God provides. I think it's really good. It's a great hobby. It's a bad master. Y'all get what I'm saying? Just like all those other things. We ought to be focused in on who God has made us and what He's given us to do as if we've been enlisted for that purpose. As if God said, I'm bringing you into my family, which is such a sweet thought to me. I'm enlisting you. I'm bringing you into my family that you might be about my business. I told you before that there was a time when, as a young man, I longed. You know, I thought I was being sold out, that there wasn't a family business that I could walk into. The family business that most of my family had really didn't seem to suit me. You know, and there wasn't, you know, I had to climb steel and put steel together as an iron worker. I had to lay concrete all day, and I'm just, it just never seemed to be what it was. And I'd always felt cheated that I couldn't walk into a family business that seemed like I was cut out for. And that all changed when I met God. Because then I realized I've been brought into a family business. I brought into an enterprise. I've been brought into something bigger that the church represents, that we can be on mission for God. And I don't want to get tangled up in all those other things because I have a purpose. I have a mission. And believe me, it's enough to occupy us for our whole life. It's good. And it's good. It can occupy us without regret. But I'm in my father. My dad's sitting here, but I'm in my Father's business. Y'all get what I'm saying? It's just an awesome thing. And to be able to say, in whatever I do, I get an opportunity to honor Him, to please Him, to say, Lord, this is for You. You gave to me, and I'm given to You, not because You've commanded me, not because You have scared me into doing stuff, but because You've loved me so much, You've generated a love response back to You. And it's awesome. It's awesome. The next picture. Not only are we to be the unbroken chain, the devoted soldier, but the disciplined athlete. The disciplined athlete. And there's so many illustrations right now in our modern time that I can go to, but it would hurt people's feelings. You know, and I'd hate to do that right around football season. People get all upset and stuff. So I'll try to pick something that won't upset anybody, you know. But so my Michigan Wolverines were playing the Florida Gators yesterday. Anybody get upset about that kind of stuff? Any Florida Gators fan? Uh-oh, sorry. Tommy, I'm sorry about that. I am a Michigan fan. But anyways, going into the game, there's a talk that, hey, Florida was down. Hey, Florida did a real good job being down. They're down 10 players. Why were they down 10 players? Well, they got infractioned. They didn't. Look, you don't play according to the rules, there's going to be penalties. Now, there is a team closer to home I could have mentioned, but I ain't going all that direction. I ain't trying to get there. You know what I'm saying? I ain't trying to do all that mess. But here's the point. You gotta. It doesn't matter how good you might think you are. There's some things you need to follow. okay? Talent is not enough. You just being you is not enough. Y'all, listen. When it comes to grace and being strong in grace, we need to abide by the rules of grace. You might say, what rules are there in grace? The rule is this. Don't ever, ever diminish it. Don't ever, ever diminish grace. Two ways that people diminish grace, two weaknesses that come in where we decide to be undisciplined. The first weakness is one that every church, both of these, every church has a tendency to do. I think this is the one a little bit further from us, so I'm going to start with it. The first weakness, the first way people cheapen grace is by getting all legalistic, like what I've been talking about, where they start saying, hey, you know, it's mostly grace, but then there's this part that you got to do. It's mostly about God, but then it is part about you. And we almost feel unsafe by saying it's all of God and none of me. But y'all, that's where we need to get strong in grace and say, no, I'm not going to cheapen grace by acting like it's not enough, like it's not sufficient. It is. All my faith goes on to Him. Not any of it stays on what I can do for Him. It all goes to Him. And then I let Him empower me to do what God wants to do. But we cheapen grace when we make it think like, well, if you haven't had your quiet time, I don't know if you're saved. Oh, you listen to secular music, I don't know if you're saved. Oh, you voted for those folks, I don't know if you're saved. Oh, this is your team, I don't know if you're saved. That gets kind of rough, don't it? Y'all, that cheapens grace. Don't do that. Here's the thing that we're more inclined to do here at Christ Community Church, and we ought not do. Well, because I've been saved by grace, I can dabble, swim, wade in any kind of sin that I want to. And I've been saved by grace. Hallelujah. So now I can just be any kind of sinner I want to. Look, here's the reality. You and me are going to sin. And we are saved by grace. But can I tell you something? Don't go trying to sin. You'll do it by nature. You're going to do it. You're going to sin and you're going to mess up. Don't go arranging it. You know you're arranging it when you say stuff like this. Forgive me, Lord, for what I'm about to do. You don't need to arrange the meetings for sin. You'll run into it. You'll just be walking around minding your own business. You'll turn a corner, all of a sudden it'll be like, and you're like, oh, there it is. I thought you was gone, but apparently you're here. And then boom, you got it on you. And you got to come back to the Lord who's gracious and say, Lord, I've sinned. And you're not asking to be resaved again. You're just coming to Him because He's your Father. And you're saying, Lord, I got a mess. I got a mess again. You ever watch, not a mess, sound like I said a Mexican, but, I got a Mexican. Sorry for all Latinos in here. That means no harm. It's just a slip of the tongue. But here's the point. We come back. When we're strong in grace and we sin, we don't act like Adam and Eve did and try to hide behind the trees in the garden. We come to God and say, I bit the apple. I messed up. And here it is. Help. I watched the little guys run around. The little guys being potty trained. And I'm not going to mention any names, but it cracks me up. Now that mine are above that age, it cracks me up when they run over to mom and dad and say, I go poo-poo. And you know, and you go. And their diaper got a big old, you know, they're walking with a big old tail behind them. Like, ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding-a-ding. You just kind of laugh. You're like, I ain't got to mess with any of that. But where did they come? They're happy. They come up to mom and dad. I go poo-poo. You're like, okay, sweetheart, that's great, you know. What if when we made a mess, what if we are so eager to come back to God like that? Father, I made a mess. Why are we running from God? When you run from God because you've sinned, you're not strong in grace, right? Don't cheapen grace by not coming to Him. Don't cheapen grace by thinking, oh, He doesn't care about my sin. If He didn't care about your sin, He wouldn't have saved you from it. God doesn't save you from sin to ruin your good time. God saves you from sin because it kills you. And it begins on the inside in your soul and it kills you all the rest of the way. That's why He saved us from it. That's why He tells us not to mess with it. That's why it's no great excuse to say I've been saved by grace. That way I sin like however I want. No! I've been saved by grace so I hurt myself. I've been saved by grace so that's my excuse for hurting me. That's why I hurt me. No, don't do that. Never, ever cheapen the grace of God by adding something else to it, or by saying that it gives me a license just to hurt myself and hurt others, because that's not what it's about. And never cheapen it by not coming to Him when you made a mess. Come to Him. You can be silly too, I think. Not that it is silly, but I'm just saying it's silly when I see these little ones. Look, I made a mess. Just come to Him in the simplicity of faith, knowing that it's His grace that saves you. Bring every mess to Him that way. You don't got to come up all, you don't have to beat yourself up first. Look how beat up I am and bruised and sorry and guilty and droopy. Just come back to Him. He doesn't save you because you feel bad about your sin. He saves you because Christ died for your sin. And when you can't, He just takes it away. He is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Just come to Him in that confidence and that grace. Lastly, like the determined farmer, of grace, the hardworking farmer, it said, must be the first to partake of the crop. Now, this one, usually when you talk about farming, you talk about patience. But it didn't say patience. I so wanted to say patience. When you're strong in grace, you're patient. But this isn't about patience. This is about hope. This is about looking forward. This is about saying, I know that when I'm strong in grace, I can look confidently toward the reward that's coming ahead. I work hard, not because I have to, but because it's been earned for me and I get to. It'd be like being, again, in your father's business. You might not get the paycheck that you want week after week, but you know that because it's your father's business, it's your business, and you sink yourself wholeheartedly into it. And you know that the father's reward is going to be for you. You know, this is something that we don't hear awful lot, but this is what Jesus said. He says, all things have been given unto me, and I give them unto you. This is what it says in Romans chapter 8. It says, we are co-heirs. I love that. We are co-heirs with Christ Jesus. He adopts us into His family, and then we are co-heirs. Everything that comes to Christ comes to those who believe in Christ. Y'all, I don't work to earn that. I work because He gave that to me. I work because I bear the image of the Father through the Son. I work because I've been saved. I work because I've always wanted to be a part of something that was bigger and bolder than anything I can do, and He's given me that. I got no reason to give up. No matter how bad my life may look, no matter how hard my finances may get, I don't need to give up on God. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep plowing ahead. Not to earn something, but because it's been given to me. And I thank God I'm a part of that. I always think of a restaurant chain. That's the business I wanted. That's what you should have did. You should have started a restaurant chain. I always wanted to be a part of a restaurant chain. I don't know why. But when I used to, at home, when I did dishes, I used to think, well, I'm doing dishes, you know, and there's customers out here, and I'm watching this. Hey! And like, I know them all, Buddy and Sam and Charlie, they're all there eating, and you know, and I'm washing dishes, and I'm part of something, you know, part of our restaurant chain. And even though that's not what it is, I feel like sometimes when I'm here at church, it's like God's got me in his chain, and I'm working hard. I'm working hard serving up food in my Father's business. And to me, that excites me. It's not about a paycheck. It's not about all these different things. It's about the fact that He is given a reward. Through grace, I didn't earn it, but I work hard because He's given it to me. He's made me part of the team. He's made me a part of His family. And He's made me that. He gives me an excitement. He's given me, it's so weird to say ownership because I don't see it as ownership. But y'all, if I'm heirs with Christ, the Son of God, He's brought me fully into the family. You know, I got four kids, and no matter how close their friends get to them, I'm sorry, Reed, they're not going to be heirs. You know, the $20 I leave behind, you know, is just going to be split up four ways. Because my children, by God, those are the heirs of my fortune. Yeah, you're all blessed, aren't you? I pass on all that I get from my Father unto you. And, but God, in making me a part of His family, everything that Christ has, He's made me an heir of. So I don't call myself an owner, but I'm certainly an heir. I'm certainly part of the family. I'm certainly apportioned a part with Him, and I'm going to be with Him. And that makes me want to work hard. Not to earn, but because it's been given. Again, it's like that love response. This is the work response. and it's not to earn it. It's because it's been given. And man, I don't got anything better to do, I promise. And I promise when this is rightly conceived, you'll say, I don't have anything better to do than to be a part of what God has for me in His grace. So all these things are signs of being strong in grace, that you're committing it to others, that you're devoted to Christ, the one who saved you and enlisted you, that you're disciplined, that you're not falling off into the area of I can do whatever I want, and not falling off into that area of Christ isn't enough, but you're walking with Him, bringing your mess day by day to Him, confident that He saves those who come to Him and that He has saved you, and so you can come to Him all the more. And then lastly, determined. Determined that you're going to see with your own eyes, that you're going to handle with your own hands that which Christ has given for all those who believe. We talk about heaven. We talk about eternal joys. It's going to be bigger than whatever you can imagine. But I know this, even in this life, walking with God with that hope, that determination fills my mind and my heart up. It gives me opportunities with service. I don't know what it's going to be there, except for it's beyond my imagination. But I know this, even here, when I walk in grace and I'm strong in grace, it makes here so much better. And I need to grow in grace. I mean, I'm just telling you, I'm like everybody else. I can have a stronger position. I could work out all the arguments. I could go through it. I can train more in grace than I do. And I encourage y'all, grow strong in grace, that we might be a church that's strong in grace. Let's pray. Father God, thank You for loving us. Thank You for the opportunity we have to come before You. Thank You for the great grace we have to call You Father and Lord, and to be in Your service, to be a part of Your great restaurant chain that goes throughout the whole world, feeding the bread of life, feeding freely, offering freely that which can nourish the soul. And so, Father, thank You for all that. Help us to become a place where we're strong in grace, where we're not looking at the exterior, we're not even looking at the content of the character, we're simply looking at You and saying You can save all who come. So Father, help us in that. Help us to be strong like that. We love You, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This next time, you've seen the bands up here. I'm just, you know, for those who are visiting and things, this is what we call a time of invitation. If you feel like God's been doing something in your heart, whatever it might be, we just give time to respond. You can respond. Sometimes folks come up here and kneel down and just pray to God. And their act of getting up and coming down is a way of, in their mind, of committing and saying, I'm committed to this. This is what I'm doing. It's a like a moment in time where they're taking that step. But you can also just respond where you are. It's a prayerful time. So during this song, just, you know, don't be worried about anybody else, what else is going on. Just be prayerful. God, what would You have me to do? And when He lets you know, respond to Him. You can come up here if you don't know what God's doing and you want prayer, you want some guidance. You can come up here and ask me and I can help. If you need to meet with me afterwards, we can do that. But this is your time to respond to God. Father, as we respond to You, just glorify Yourself. Give us strength to do as You'd have us do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Nothing can save.
Thank you, Lord. Remember God's invitation. We have this time, and this is one song long. But what happens tonight if you start thinking about what God's doing, or Monday? We can't do anything about it until next Sunday because God only works in church.
Yeah.
Oh, you won't buy that, right? Because we're strong in grace. And man, let God work tonight. Let him work tomorrow morning. Let him work on a Tuesday. You know, when the devil ain't nobody even looking for God to work on Tuesday, sometimes he just does. You know, he just will work on Tuesday. Let them have, whenever it's time, you just let them have that time, okay? I'm going to ask the ushers to come forward for the morning offering. As they come, I'll pray. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your grace. And Father, as we give in grace, not trying to earn favor with you, not trying to impress one another. It's just a matter of saying, thank you, Lord, for what we have. And we give back a portion to you out of just a joyful respect. Lord, we love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, did y'all catch your head bobbing in service today during the music? I found myself doing a lot of head bobbing, you know. That's all right. I love y'all. There's a lot going on. That's been mentioned. It's in your bulletin. I'm not going to repeat it all, but look at it, okay? Look at it so I don't have that nervousness about y'all not looking at it. But this Friday, we're feeding the football boys, and we need to be ready. We want to be hospitable and all those things. Yes, ma'am. For the football boys? For the helping out... probably quarter to three, right? Or, you know, they get here right around three. Oh, helping to cook. You need Miss Kit. What time do your helpers be here to help you cook? Serve at about quarter to two. Okay, but help cook. Anybody helping you cook? What time they need to be here? Five. Oh, you got that saw? I know somebody's asking me. Talk to Miss Kit. Y'all who have that question, y'all see Miss Kit? She's got her finger in the air. Talk to Miss Kit. She's got her pinky finger pointed to the moon, just like Bruno Mars says. Talk to Suzanne for setup and Kit for cooking. But just be here because we want to make it good for them, all right? All right. I'm not going to say anything else except for I love you and thanks for letting me be your pastor. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for loving us all, and we give you all the praise. And just for who you are and what you've done for us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Ready? Break. No small group training tonight. We'll be back at small groups next Sunday night.